Blog Talk Radio.
Talk show. This is your host, Dr. Emmanuel Bravo the Kid. Tonight, we're going to be talking about mobile learning versus computer literacy. Which one will benefit Liberians? I want to welcome you tonight. Tonight's show is going to be thought-provocative. So wherever you are, I want you to sit tight because we have five distinguished guests. See the guests here tonight that will be explaining to us the differences and engaging different technological ideology about how mobile learning or computer literacy can help Liberia. But right now, before we bring in our studio guests, we're going to take a break. And right after that, we will introduce our guests to you all.
Back in here.
I promise I'm going to pay my rent. You see me? That's what I'm working towards.
No, I gave you a first notice. I gave you time to pay it. We gave you a second notice. I gave you time to pay it. 6 months now, you've even gotten a third notice. I'm done. You need to take your stuff and get out and don't come back.
Brittany, please. All right, I'm going to bring my rent. Brittany, please.
Yeah. God broke down.
Well, we want to thank you again. Tonight, we want to look at information literacy and the way it's impacting technology and controlling the world as a global village. But before we can go into details, we want to bring in our guest. Tonight, we have with us Mr. Samuel Jackson. We're going to give him the time to introduce himself. Mr. Jackson, you are live in Cedar.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Dickey. This is my second time on your show. I'm training quantitative methods in economics and banking, and I've worked for the last 35 years for banks and for governments, and also as a consultant for the last 12 years in socioeconomic development in Liberia. I was senior economist to the president of Liberia during her tenure on the high-level panel on the post-2015 development agenda. As you know, in the year 2000, 189 countries got together at the UN and signed a declaration, which is the Millennium Declaration, to have poverty by 2015. And there were a number of goals, 8 goals that were put together in terms of education goals, universal access to education, poverty goals, with definitive indicators, benchmarks, and targets. And what we did from 2012 to 2013 was to evaluate the entire globe to see where the world had come, or what each country had done. And then we were taxed with the opportunity to develop what was called the post-2015 development agenda. And we wrote a report that was presented to the Secretary General. And today you have the 17 Sustainable Development Goals have been developed based upon the work that we did. So this is the seminal work that I have done. I'm very, very proud of it. I'm very proud of my country saw fit to nominate me to participate in the process. And I'm glad that the world has accepted our recommendations, and now we have 17 sustainable development goals. One of the things I hope and pray for is that Liberia can domesticate those goals and put it into their national development agenda, which calls about, things on poverty, the environment, and transformative economic growth.
Oh, thank you so much, Mr. Jackson, with the wealth of knowledge that you have. We believe we're going to benefit from a lot of things tonight as we perpetuate through this program. Well, information literacy is a big and complex task, and it takes years to master. Learning by discovery, we will be replaced in the learning of fascination. Right now, we discover that most of our schools in Liberia are learning by fascinations, and we want to replace the learning with technology. And that's why we call you guys in tonight, looking at mobile learning versus computer literacy. Which one is going to benefit Liberia? We are so happy to have you, Mr. Jackson. We want you to stay in studio. And right now, we're going to go over to Mr. Satu Kawie. You are live in studio.
Hey, thank you for having me on your show once again. I think this is my second time being on your show. It is an honor. I appreciate what you are doing and stimulating a lot of issues that affect our country. I am currently a PhD student at the Texas Southern University. I have a master in development economics, and I have politics and international studies, another master in that, from the Uppsala University School of Government in Uppsala, Sweden. Currently working, like I said, on my PhD. I am an independent Liberian. I strongly believe in what is right for Liberia. I want to see change. So I'm very eager as a young man in understanding various issues that will help improve our society. I'm very happy to be on here today as I listen and also participate in your program. And to all those in Radio Land, I want to say thank you for tuning in, and I am so excited to be here. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Mr. Cowies, for giving us your time and honoring our invitation to come over here tonight and discuss some of the challenges we face in Liberia when it comes to education development. As we await the confirmation for our remaining guests, we want to remind our listeners out there, our participants, if you listen to us tonight and you want to participate in the show, you can call 347-286-1716. You can also text the same number at 347-286-1716. You can also call this number 323-642-1503. Now, this is where we find solutions, we make recommendations to the Liberian education system, and we believe your participation is fully anticipated. And we want you to be able to come on and then give us your question. You can also post your question on Facebook. Well, not to waste any time, we want to bring in our third guest. He's no one but Evangelist Joseph Hodgson. He's going to introduce himself, and he will take it from there.
Able to compete with other countries as well. And if our population is not educated, it brings all types of different things. It brings in people coming in to exploit our children, to exploit our adults, to take advantage of our senior citizens. It also brings in, what is it, domestic slavery. I feel like there's no reason why Liberians should be getting paid $100 a month for 40 hours of a week work. I feel like that's part of slavery. And that's the reason why they're doing this is because they're not educating the Liberian people. So that's my take on it.
Thank you so much, Ms. Davis, Erica, for giving us a significant point, because it seems to be that somebody not doing the job. It seems to be that our government not having the right people to do the right job. We want to come over to Mr. Carrier, because you raised a significant point, and then also to Mr. Parker. Now, what is your opinion about administrative action related to the flow of students, the size of class, and the use of
faith? Hallelujah, somebody give God the praise. He's worthy to be praised. The Bible says from the rising of the sun to the going down of the sea, the name of the Lord is to be praised. From the north, east, west, and south, wherever you are, come, let's give God the praise.
Well, we want to thank you for following us. At this time, as we await our guests to arrive, we want to go back to our two guests present in studio as we get confirmation for our remaining guests. We want to go to Mr. Jackson, looking at education from a commodity perspective, and also looking at Mr. Kawi, who is an independent thinker, and before you have this wealth of knowledge and being into the Liberian populations and understanding education. So how can you delve into mobile learning? This is going to Mr. Jackson, looking at mobile learning and computer literacy. Which one do you think is going to benefit Liberians?
Well, both of them, I mean, because they both serve, I mean, certain functions. I mean, technology, as technology advances, it shifts the perception of human beings. It increases productivity in economic. It creates new industries, and it moves the world forward and expands the horizons of people. You know, so if you looking at a country like Liberia, where you know mobile learning, distance learning has to be something that we have to invest in if we want to be a part of the 21st century technology, information communication technology. You know, and of course, desktop learning, computer learning is an extremely important facet because you have to know the technology of information communication technology at the basic level before you can get involved in distance and mobile learning. So from that point, now there may be some other arcane language that educators use when it comes to mobile learning and computer learning. So you need to basically discern the differences to me so I can participate. As you know, I don't have a background in education, but I look at education as a commodity. I look at one of the most important things that can happen in terms of decreasing income inequality is education. Recently, there was a book written by a gentleman called Thomas Piketty. He's a French economist, and he studied income inequalities over the last 200 years. And what he's found out that the narrowing of income inequality comes about by education. And he demonstrated that more than 60% of global wealth is inherited. So if your parents are not born rich, I mean, your parents did not die rich to leave you a major inheritance, the only way that you can bridge sufficiently income inequality gap is to secure an education so that you can have a marketable commodity to sell to the global economy.
So, Mr. Jackson, I want us to limit come into and put ourselves into the Liberian scenario. Looking at our topic tonight, mobile learning, which is like mobile technology, the cell phone, and computer literacy. Now, looking at Liberia, I want to assume that Liberia population is not totally computer literate. And I want to also believe that not everybody has the a cell phone as well. So how can you connect those two?
Well, the thing is, I mean, access to technology is never 100%, you know. So what we need to do is to find a means of reaching those who don't have access to the technology. And then we have to devise programs through public and private partnerships to ensure that we get a broader reach and access to technology by the broadest number of people. And how do you accomplish that would be increasing your education budget and also making logistical support to education and expanding the reach of technology geographically, you know, because one of the differences in income inequality in Liberia, as you know, there's a spatial difference between people who live in urban centers and people who live in rural areas. And typically people who live in rural areas are poorer than people who live in urban centers. So you will have a broader reach of technology to people in the urban area versus people who live in the rural area. So we have to find a means of bringing, for lack of a better word, egalitarianism in access to technology. And my friend, the development economist, will probably would know more about this than I do, and he can probably, you know, give a broader perspective on it.
All right. So, Mr. Jackson, before I leave you to go to Mr. Carey, if I have given you an option to decide between mobile learning and computer literacy for Liberians, which one would you take?
Well, I think that you have to take the most rudimentary, and that would be the computer learning. But in terms of access to mobile technology, I think it would be easier than having access to a computer. A handheld device would cost significantly, would be significantly less in terms of cost than a laptop or a desktop. I want to be educated on that by you, Doctor. What is the education literature say about that?
Right, and this is why we're here tonight, so that we can find solutions and make recommendations, because there are two different things in play here tonight. We have mobile learning, that is having a cell phone where we develop curriculums, and we have these curriculums posted to the cell phone and goes to the teachers, and the teachers have access to it. Now we have another problem here. Being computer literate is quite different from being able to have access to phone, but you have to be able to have that technological knowledge to be able to deal with a cell phone, because it's not just an ordinary cell phone. It's not a manual cell phone. It would have to be a touch screen cell phone. But however, we're going to break you over there and bring in Mr. Carey. Mr. Carey, do you agree with Mr. Jackson? Where do we begin from here?
I think Mr. Jackson did a lot of issues that I am in agreement with. He really nail it, honestly. But with regards to mobile learning, I honestly believe that mobile learning is the feature. You know, it's the feature for Africa, it's the feature, especially for Liberia. You have, there's a report that just came out from the World Bank in 2015, the World Bank report on out of school children in Africa. You know, Liberia has the highest enrollment rate of students, but we also have like 82% dropout rate for 12th grades. So, I mean, there's an issue right there. Computer learning, you know, with regards to computer literacy, is also vital, but there are challenges. And challenges in a sense that you have the issue of lack of computer. You have the issue of lack of electricity. You have the issue of qualified teachers to teach actually computer courses in school. Also, you have the issue of lack of internet or slow, you know, the way internet speed goes and stuff. And as Mr. Jackson put it, people in rural Liberia is at a disadvantage. But with regards to mobile learning, I think where computer haven't been able to reach, I think.
Mr. Carey, let me just break you over there. If I could just break you over there and see. Now, you see, mobile learning, it might sound very feasible, you know, and it could work in Africa, although there are some countries like Kenya, Uganda, those countries are practicing mobile learning, the mobile technology, which is being implemented by Bridges. There's a company called Bridges. Now, I'm trying to research what have been the success stories of mobile technology. I'm also comparing the analysis with Liberia, looking at the populations that we're going to deal with. So,
Within
Liberal
context,
it's difficult. Yeah, just a second, Mr. Carey. The issue here is in order to be effective with mobile learning, we will have to outsource the educational process of Liberia. Now, this is the point that we're going to be driving. I just want to get you guys into it. So, now, if we're going to say mobile learning is going to work for Liberia, first of all, we have to identify one aspect that could work. And then the next thing is to find a resolution. How is it going to be like?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mr.
Carey. I agree with what you're saying. Like within Liberia context, it's kind of difficult. The same thing with computer literacy. You have a country that is a post-conflict country that we are very poor and stuff. So we have challenges. We have institutional challenges. We have a lot of challenges. But, you know, both of them might work, you know. I'm not saying that mobile is like they so, you know, mobile should be like the sole goal of the government and stuff, but in a country where we have a higher dropout, we have to try different stuff that work. And right now within Africa, you know, we have mobile communication have grown, you know, it's fast growing. I think the African mobile market is like the second largest mobile market in the world,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
mobile have been used to deliver books, you know. You got, you know, instead of having issue with having a hard copy of books in countries
uh-huh.
like Kenya and other places, they are using, the, you know, the electronic, you know, print, you know, for books, the e-book, as they call it, and stuff. So we can make use of it. But there are also a lot of challenges. There are challenges.
Now, Mr. Kawier, do you agree that we should also the educational process of Liberia?
Let me just basically jump in and just
Mr. Jackson, I want for Mr. Kaye to respond to that question because he was on this show before, we want to see
I want to see that. I want to give you an example to provide some information on mobile technology and what is done in the unbanked market. In Kenya, for example, was something called M-Pesa. M-Pesa
right.
is a mobile technology that brings in sort of a money transfer mechanism that has brought
right.
in a lot of people who in the informal sector who typically would not participate in banks and brought them into this technology, and they can buy and trade goods. So
right.
if mobile technology is good for bringing people into the who are in the unbanked market, I can see it where it can be used as a learning tool. Okay, and of course, you will have to educate me on the technology and the possibilities of bringing in voluminous books onto a mobile phone that may have limited capacity or the cost may be prohibitive. So I don't know, Dr. How you in your
yeah.
research? What have you discovered in terms of the cost of the technology that will enable it to be for you to download significant number of pages and books?
Now, that's a very good question, Mr. Jackson. The first thing here is I do not support mobile technology for Liberia. I support computer literacy program for the citizenry, and the reason why I'm saying that, I feel that. In order to have a mobile phone in Liberia, these citizens will have to be taught technology-wise, okay? I agree. Right now, we have 115% of mobile technology equipment around the world and everywhere. Everybody, the Western world, people have cell phone. We have touch phone. We have different kinds of phone that we go. We access our notes, we download. But those phones are not able to be functional in Liberia. You know, I strongly doubt the capacity, and you're not going to use manual phone to implement or initiate a mobile learning in Liberia. Now, this is where it comes in, Mr. Jackson. Now, the issue will have to be, the whole education process will have to be outsourced. We will have to bring in expatriates. And this is where the money going to come in. Who's going to pay this money? This money going to be coming from out of the World Bank or from some United Nations or some donors. Now, these guys are going to come into the country, and this is what is going to happen. They are not going to succeed because they will have nothing to work with. I also doubt the material because you do not I don't think we're going to have the capacity to use those kind of phones in Liberia. So why don't we introduce computer literacy program to our people? Let's first of all introduce it, let them accept it, you know, and we start going into the rural county. Then we can bring in more technology. That's my argument. Computer literacy program first, because the world is being technologized. So let's bring in a computer literacy program. Let the people be taught. They will bring in mobile learning, because in order to bring in mobile learning, you need different capacity of phone. And Liberia is not prepared right now to be able to use those phones. So that's my argument, and I stand to that. That's why I call you guys and students to disagree with me and say, okay, I think cell phone is going to work. What kind of phone is that? Now, the people we're going to bring in the country, it's going to cost a whole lot of money, because we do not have the resources to initiate such programs. But we do have the resources to teach our people how to be computer literate. So this is my point I'm coming from. Yeah, coming. Who's that?
Yeah. All right.
Oh, Mr. Jackson? Oh, Mr. Cobb?
I'm listening.
Same challenges we have with mobile devices, we also have it with computer issues, like computer literacy. No doubt, computer literacy is essential for people wanting to compete in the job market, the access to information, interact with your friends, and, you know, and all of that. But within Liberia context, it's difficult in the sense that, firstly, we don't have qualified teacher to teach information and communication technology, the ICT, in schools. That's the first thing. Secondly, we have the lack of computers. Computers are still very expensive, I mean, in Liberia. Despite the effort of NGO, individual assisting here and there, it's still expensive. With regards to electricity, many schools in Liberia, let's say in Monrovia for that matter, they are not connected to electricity. You know, you're talking about a government that haven't been able to connect part of Monrovia to the national electricity grid. There's no electricity in rural Liberia. For a country like Liberia, where the GDP is like $454, majority of the people cannot have four computers.
But
Mr. Cowley, yeah.
this is the point. We are talking about singular proficiency usage and also touchscreen technology. This is what's going to be employed into the country when we decide to use mobile technology. Now, who's going to be the target group? Is it going to be the students or the educators?
That is the question that needs to be answered. Because
so
the minister
One question. One minute. Can we bring in Mr. Jackson from a financial standpoint? Mr. Jackson, do you think Liberia is prepared to cover up this technology, or are we preparing to borrow some more money?
Okay, look. First of all, one of the things you talk about, that we will be needing donor support to be able to deploy this technology broadly, to me, I really don't want us to cut the umbilical cord. You can't have donor support to feed you, donor support to show you how to go to the bathroom, donor support to show you how to eat, donorship support. I mean, and you've seen these kiosks, you know, in Liberia where they show you how to wash your hands, and I'm very much, I'm livid, you know. I think that, I mean, they are treated like little babies, you know. If technology has to be purchased, and technology is a product, it has to be purchased. So you need the marketplace to expand its tentacles into the market to spread that technology, which means that you already have mobile telephony companies in Liberia. Okay, what you need to do is to show them the business opportunities in providing widespread mobile technology, okay, and we can show them that the market, some areas of the market will be able to pay for it. But the way you bring equilibrium to markets is not by making sure that everybody can afford it, Mr. Kawhi will know. Okay, some people will be shunted out of the marketplace, but eventually, as the technology improves and people use the technology and education increases, then technology will be brought. 50 or 60 or 75 years ago, when color television first was brought into the marketplace, not everybody had a color television, so there was inequality when it came to color television. So people who had television sets, they were learning, and those who didn't have it were learning. So people will be shut out of the marketplace because of the inability to participate as a buyer or a seller. But eventually, I trust the market more than I trust donors, the market will be able to provide the opportunity for broader reach over a period of time if you do an organic growth over a period of time. And Dr. Kayu, you can disagree with me on that, or you can agree with me if you wish to.
Now, Mr. Jackson, you see,
I wanted Mr. Setu to respond to this. Being a development economist, I wanted to know what he thought about the marketplace being used to provide the technology instead of the donors being used to provide the technology.
Mr. Kawhi, it's all yours.
Yeah, thanks again. I think you stressed a very important part of the whole discussion, and I like the fact that you stress on the marketplace. I mean, there's everything is donor. I mean, I get sick of this all the time. Even to eat, donor got to teach you how to eat. The marketplace, like you make reference to the mobile companies that are in Liberia, mobile lending is on top market. Nobody have tapped into that yet. Once the awareness start going on in the country, people start talking about mobile lending, you will have competition. Cellcom, Lone Star, or any mobile company over there, they will start tapping into it. What's going to happen now? You're going to have, demand. Once the awareness is up there, people get trained, teachers get trained to it, it will pay for itself in the long run. I mean, the stuff is difficult to start, the kind of stuff, but in the long run, it's going to pay for itself. But if you bring donor in and say, well, you know what, we're just going to offshore everything and give it to donor and they're going to tell us what to do, what happens if they can't fund it? What happens if you have a donor fatigue?
Well, yeah, what happens
if those... So I agree with what Mr. Jackson is saying, that the market itself with the right, awareness and with the right training, obviously our people can get behind it, both public and private sector can get towards it, and it might work. But there are a lot of challenges, like in any issue that is in post-conflict Liberia, there are a lot of challenges. But
Now, I want us to exchange over there. Mr. Jackson, do you agree to what Mr. Kawhi just said?
And in addition, I want to add the issue of market distortion. Donor funding in Africa distorts market. It delays the deployment of technology. It really does.
Absolutely.
If you're serious about implementing a technology, you have to find a way for the market to self-regulate and to deploy effectively, because the marketplace is an efficient allocation of scarce resources. You get equilibrium by people participating, and those who cannot participate will be motivated through entrepreneurial development to see how they can participate. And you will find that the expansion of markets happen organically through entrepreneurial development. I mean, and if you depend on donor support to expand markets, it has severe limitations. It's not sustainable.
I want us to look at the success story, the success stories of mobile technology, of mobile learning in Africa. Have we gotten any country that have succeeded in mobile learning?
Absolutely, South Africa. South Africa,
yeah.
Because South Africa has the ICT infrastructure to do that. It has highways, it has good telecommunication facilities, and it has roads, and it has also a lot of physical infrastructure. So as countries develop, you will see that mobile technology would penetrate more, and we have to do that so to be able to sustain itself. That's what we call sustainable development in the post 2015 agenda. You cannot be spoon-fed to deploy technology. You do some of it, but broadly speaking, the market forces alone will be able to spread the technology. Like with the mobile telephone, Africa has one of the broadest reach of mobile technology in the world today, and it's still on tap market. I can tell you when cell phone technology went to Liberia, we believe wrongly that only 8,000 people, that was the extent of mobile technology penetration in 2001. Now you got 1.5 million people involved in mobile technology. Lone Star alone has 1 million plus subscribers, and the mobile telephony subscription is almost 2 million people in Liberia. In Liberia, which is one of the poorest countries on the planet.
So now, who's going to be the target group? The educators or the learners?
But you have to deal with the educators first, because the educators are the ones that impart knowledge. So they have to be technologically advanced in order to spread our technology. So you have to teach, you have to train trainers, and that's the first step.
So do you agree that we have to outsource the education system in order to succeed in mobile technology?
Absolutely. I mean, the same way you have to have a sufficient teacher-to-pupil ratio in traditional classrooms, that's the same way you have to have trainers with a certain ratio in order to make it advanced, in order to make it efficient.
So do you think, Mr. Kawi, do you think that we can succeed with all the interventions of donors in this program?
I think we can. We can. I'll give you an example. Like right now, I know China is big, but the mobile learning product alone in China, right, contribute to like 15% of the revenue. In terms of like, they expected to grow by 2.3 billion in 2019. Now you look at Brazil. You're looking at Brazil. In 2014, Brazil had like 338.3 million. In mobile learning products alone in Brazil. So Liberia can do the same. I mean, we just got, like what Mr. Jackson was saying, if we are serious and determined and tap into mobile devices in terms of the mobile company bringing new product for mobile learning and training the teachers, training the educators, they will be able to start, you know, spreading the word all through their classroom, at the university, and that's how it will grow. But it's not going to happen overnight because there are a lot of challenges. Now, we cannot rule out computer illiteracy altogether. We cannot, because even if you go with mobile learning, for instance, if you're doing online courses, you know, maybe you're at the University of Liberia and you're doing online courses, you know, teachers say you should submit your work, you know, to PDF and all this stuff. If you are not computer, you know, you don't know Microsoft or whatever, you won't be able to do that. So we cannot rule out that. But with regards to Liberia context, that's why I keep saying with regards to Liberia context, it's a different story, because you have a high school drop-off, and also you have rural Liberia is at a disadvantage. And right now in rural Liberia, most of the citizens out there have access to mobile device. One thing I want to stress too, though, with regards to mobile learning, also have to do with device. If you have a Nokia that has no data plan or whatever, it's difficult. So that's why the local providers, the cell phone company, when they start that, there should be a process in which they can bring devices that are compatible to Liberia context in order to strive towards that.
And then you raise a serious point, Mr. Carey, and just want to comment. You know, I'm totally involved into mobile learning. Right now, my second doctorate program that I'm doing in education, I have to be involved into online platform using Blackboard, doing my literature review. I know all of this is so hard, right? But, you know, going into different research and then submitting them through this platform, and even accessing them on my phone. But there are limitations, like you said. There are limitations when it comes to using a mobile device as compared to using a computer technology. So you have to be computer literate in order to use computer. But when it comes to mobile phone, you have some level of limitation. So these are challenges that we also have to look at. And this is why I suggested that it's better that we start with computer literacy program if we really want to make this program to be a prudent subset in Liberia. Then we bring in mobile technology, the mobile learning process. But if we start with the mobile learning, then we will have to end this out with the computer literacy program. And this is where we will succeed. So we're going to have a vague a project being initiated, and we cannot have a subset. After we have donors pumping in over so many millions, and yet they say we cannot succeed. Okay, that is important. But another thing I want to bring in is, why are we not using our professionals, Liberian expatriates? Why are we not using them, Mr. Jackson?
Look, I'd like to answer that question. The success of Liberia will depend upon putting together a database of Liberian professionals from all over the world and use means of attraction to bring them to Liberia or to have them to participate virtually in the process. You know, like, you know, this is a virtual world today. And if you're using mobile technology, they don't have to be present in the geographical area. They can be present anywhere in the world where they can participate. So in all aspects, in all sectors, from engineering to science to technology to agriculture to health to education to markets, you have to have Liberian professionals involved wherever they are. And even things like medicine, I mean, you know, you can develop a platform where professional doctors, nurses, and what have you can use mobile technology to treat people in distant places. So the technology has a great potential in solving some of the livelihood problems in Liberia. And one of the things that I think is important for us to understand, too, is that the way Liberia is structured today, you have to find a way to deal with broad literacy. We've been improving literacy up to a point, but we have to spend more money. We have to invest more money in education. Right now, the budget allocation to education, it is one of the lowest on the planet. I think it's less than 10% of the budget goes to education. I think like $60 million, whereas in places like Rwanda and Ghana, it's like 25 and 30%. So we have to increase. We have to increase our budget allocation to our education, and we have to expand economic opportunities, not just in terms of our enrollment, but also in terms of educational attainment. As you know, the president herself said that education is a mess, and we have issues with people passing their basic standardized tests like the West African Examinations Council. And also, as you know, more than 25,000 students fail the entrance examination at the University of Liberia. So there are issues in education and attainment. I think we need to attack all of those challenges simultaneously. And then to answer your question about
mobile technology versus computer literacy. I think both of them can exist. They can coexist, and we can deploy sufficient resources in both aspects of those technology so as to increase the learning potential of the country.
Thank you so much, Mr. Jackson. The discussion is getting very, very interesting. Now, you see, we want to bring in our next guest. We have three persons on right now, but it's just one thing I want to just throw in. First of all, we found out that our legislatures do not have that political will to be able to engage these things to see how we can invest in education. It's something significant. So I just want you to hold on right there. We're going to bring in Reverend Philip Blamo from the religious community to come and give his own perception when it comes to mobile learning and computer literacy. You are live in studio.
Thank you very much, and I really appreciate the conversation and also what you guys are talking about concerning education and illiteracy, especially we live in this world when technology is going very fast. And Liberia, if you look at our educational system right now, it's really, really bad, Tracy. I think we need to put more efforts, like one of our brother was saying about the budget. It's too low for education, and education is the key to success. If you remember what happened in the war and up to now, the illiteracy rate is so high. Even students from the University of Liberia can hardly compose, and a lot of stuff going on in our educational system. And if that is not straightened up, I'm telling you, we're gonna go back. That's why other countries, people come into the country, they will say, "Well, Liberia is not qualified to do this. Liberia is not qualified to do this." They're taking advantage of that illiteracy rate. You know, a little the engineering positions and other, you know, situations, expatriate people coming in, and that's why the foreigners are in the country, because they're like, we're not qualified to do it because of the education. And our government officials, they're not putting more money, you know, they're not putting more effort in education. All the other countries, long before Guinea, Nigeria, Sierra Leone, Ghana, long, long before, we had one of the oldest universities in Liberia. We have people who were educated long, long time before even the other people. People used to go through the educational system in Liberia to further the education. But why we are back? Selfishness. And we're expecting the president to do more than what, and they're not doing it. On the religious side of it, I think it's incumbent upon all religious leaders. I mean, the religious community played a very important part in education. Most of the people that are educated today, you know, came from a religious institution, you know. So, and they are still doing it. But the government is not really putting effort in education, you know, and this is why I pray that the next coming government, especially we're in the technical world now, where computer and a lot of things are going fast, we are still back. And I pray that the next government that will come in, because on education. But in the platform, there's nothing like education. We don't even know the platform of the coming government or those who want to lead the country when it comes to education. We don't know. You know, they're not telling us anything. But so all they want to do, they want to be president. You see?
So Reverend Blamo, we actually invited two persons from the religious community. We are unfortunately we were able to get you. So a bulk of the questions when it comes to the churches and the religious community will go to ask you now, what is the religious community doing when it comes to education development? Looking at this huge project we want to initiate in Liberia, mobile learning technology, what is your own perception? What can the religious community do to support this project?
I think the religious community right now need, you know, the two aspects of the main goals of the religious community in any part of the society is to educate, you know, the people spiritually and also educate them morally as well as, you know, academically. That is the main goal. But you see, most of the time, the especially in Liberia and the outskirts of a lot of religions down here, they are not doing that on the education. All they're doing is on spiritual aspect of it, you know, and that is not good, you know. And in this modern world,
there are churches in Liberia who have schools, and I overheard that these churches are even charging more money as compared to other schools in Liberia. So tell
me. On that aspect, I don't know the economic situations, you know, when it comes to the educational system in Liberia. But I think the government, you know, education is in the best interest of the people. I think what the government need to do, they need to subsidize those institutions, you know. I think because government is now subsidizing those institutions, so, you know, they have to pay their teachers, they have to do this, they have to do other stuff. And maybe that's, I want to believe that's the reason why they're charging, you know, and they don't have any support of. But if the government would take the responsibility, it's the government responsibility to build schools and other things in the country. But if, since the government, you know, the church would be the extended effort, you know, the arms of the government, all they need to do is to help, you know.
Reverend Blamo, we are glad that you're on tonight. We want you to stay tight because the discussion is just starting. And we're going to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to go deep into the economical aspect and that of the government and then looking at the religious support. So at this time, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will continue with our discussion.
Slow it down, Benji Cavalli.
Discussing mobile learning versus computer literacy, which one would benefit Liberians. And now we want to talk about the government and looking at technology, looking at the budget. How can we succeed? We're finding strategies because education is all about strategies. So, Mr. Jackson, looking at mobile learning, and we want to succeed. Do you think that the education ministry who tried to initiate some summit that will invite Liberian educational expatriates into the country to really look into the subset of mobile learning?
Well, first of all, let me just say that the Liberian government does, in fact, subsidize some schools. I am not sure what the criteria is and how they have structured the framework, you know, in order to ensure that they are maximized their support to education through the budgetary process. But it still is a fact that not enough money is invested in the education, in the education sector in the country. As far as a strategic plan, I know there was an education sector plan 2010 to 2020. I read that, but I don't know how much technology focused that was. I read it a few years ago, and I don't know in terms of the implementation, benchmarks, and targets, whether they're meeting their goals and what have you. But Reverend Blamo made a very good point. Political parties and political leaders have to put in their platforms their plans for education in the country, because as I keep saying, education is one of the ways that we bridge income inequality and how we improve the lives of our citizens. So the reason why even our democracy is faltering is because of the lack of education. People are not able to make wise choices because of the illiterate ignorance, or they don't know how governance structures are supposed to work. So, yes, in fact, we have to look at the role of the first branch of government, who is responsible for appropriation, to fund education and to have a technology component as part of the budgetary process.
So, Mr. Jackson, do you think that the legislatures of that Capitol Hill have the political will to invest in education beginning 2016?
Well, it's obvious they don't have the political will, but one of the things that need to happen is to have civil society and other stakeholders to demand, because the political process is a process of allocation of scarce resources, and in a democracy, the way that you get your projects to be funded is through the political process. And if enough people, voters, and other stakeholders demand that we spend, that they deploy more resources in education, that will happen. But unfortunately, because of the patronage and the chronic capitalism that exists in Liberia, it makes it almost impossible for stakeholders to demand, to make any reasonable demand upon those who govern us. And those are some of the things that make challenges continue to exist in Liberia, and why we don't resolve many of our developmental challenges, because stakeholders are not very strong in making these demands.
Mr. Collier, you see what we're talking about here is that we all agree the government is not doing well to support education. The budget is so depleted in a way that you cannot even function. I want to believe that even salary, just covering salary alone, the rest of the remaining of the budget cannot even cover, education.
Let me give you the facts.
Okay.
Let's look at the current budget. The current budget of $622 million. If you look at the portion for personnel and personnel services, it's about almost $300 million. That's because we have 46,000 employees in the public sector. Then if you add goods and services plus the personnel services, it takes you almost to like 85% of your budget. So you only have 15% fiscal space left for long-term investment in education, health, agriculture, and other sectors. So the government bureaucracy has been growing from 2006 until now. When this government came into power in 2006, you remember the downsides, okay?
Right.
And they promised us they was going to give us a lean and efficient bureaucracy, where they were going to deploy resources in a way that they were going to maximize efficiency. Unfortunately, the government has continued the old patronage process, and now you have a bloated bureaucracy with almost 50,000 public employees. And if you add temporary workers to that, you have roughly 65,000 people on the government budget. Then, if you look at the size of your workforce. Your workforce is about 1.4 million people. Now, 77% of that is in the informal sector. Only 195,000 people in Liberia are in wage employment holds. I mean, and Mr. Kaiwe, you can correct me, be the development expert there. Okay, you have 195,000 people, paid employees, or what we call wage employees, and the government employs a third of that. It means that more than a third of your paid workforce is involved in the public sector. That is totally unsustainable.
Absolutely.
Very unsustainable.
So, Mr. Jackson, you see, we have seen the problem. Now, the rest of the 15 minutes of the show, I want us to dwell in the solution. So, Mr. Kawe, do you agree that there is no doubt that the quality of education, primary education, plays a cardinal role in determining the quality of all levels of education in Liberia?
There's no doubt. There's no doubt. I think you had me on your show a couple of weeks ago, and I stressed on the importance of reducing our recurring expenditure because it's unsustainable. If you look at our budget, like Mr. Jackson just said, you have a budget that is giving only 9% to the educational sector, 9%, right? And the Education for All initiative recommended 15% for all developed, at least 15% of the budget for all developing countries should go towards education. In Liberia, it's different. You have 9% going to the educational sector. It is sad that you have teachers making less than $140 and you have guys in the legislature making money that they ain't even supposed to be making because it's all about
$15,000 $15,000 a month.
Yeah. So
that
so
is ridiculous.
It's unsustainable. You look at capital expenditure, and I think Mr. Johnson can agree with me on this one. Capital expenditure is the engine that should grow our economy. What we're doing, we're just spending. We have high bureaucracy, high employees. We're just spending, we're spending, and we are not doing priority spending. We are just spending on the maintenance of government, on goods and services, not
well,
on capital expenditure that goes towards rural education, clinics, and all of that.
Mr.
And yet we are still depending on donor aid.
Mr. Kawe, we understand that the government have failed the Liberian people. There is no doubt. Now, what I want you guys to give me tonight, give the people of Liberia, you have over 4,000 people monitoring this show tonight. We want solutions. What are you going to recommend? How can we effectively enhance the education system of Liberia? What solution?
All right, this is my solution. I will cut to the chase. Fund education. Increase our sector, increase funding to the educational sector. Increase our capital expenditure, reduce our recurring expenditure because our recurring expenditure is unsustainable. That's why we keep having deficit spending, deficit, because we cannot tune on like this. For education, put in the right policy that is achievable, not something that is written on paper and everybody go here and there. And also focus on the so-called Educational Reform Act. I don't know. It's just there. Since that act was enacted, I think in 2011, there's nothing we don't even know what happening to that. That I was supposed to reform the whole educational system in Liberia. The president came out and said, the educational system in Liberia has failed badly. So we need more funding. We need priority spending. We need to reduce our recurring expenditure, increase our capital expenditure, and look at the result from the so-called Educational Reform Act, if at all they have been implementing it, and take what is good from there, the rest that isn't working, go back to the drawing board and come up with a sound educational policy for Liberia.
Thank you, Mr. Kawi. And it's very, it's true that there have been some inconsistencies within the implementations of education in Liberia. Mr. Jackson, what would you suggest for training and vocational facilities in post-secondary sectors, I'm referring to Liberia, when it comes to mobile technology?
Well, first of all, thank you very much for having me. And again, as an economist, I like to look at the market and what the demands of the market is. What the demands of the market are, really. You want to retool the educational system to produce, because the educational system is the supply and the marketplace is the demand, okay? So you have the input and you have the output. So you have to look at the marketplace and you have to look at where technology is and you have to look at where you can maximize optimum participation of people into the economy, meaning that we have to train people that are relevant to the marketplace. So you need doctors, you need engineers, you need scientists, you need people adequate because you need to feed yourself. Okay. Right now, as you know, Liberia is not supporting the budget by the 10%, which is required by the Comprehensive African Agriculture Development Program, which is the Maputo Declaration, 10%. Like the agriculture budget is less than $2 million the last time I looked at it. So it means that, like Mr. Kaiyu said, we have to prioritize spending to education. Now, when you prioritize spending to education, you have to have goals and targets to meet. And then you have to really define the process in terms of what you want to achieve. How many? Right now, the ratio population in the country is one of the lowest in the world. You need things like vocational education. People like, you need bricklayers, you need electricians, you need people, you need plumbers. Right now, the best artisans in Liberia are not Liberians. They're bringing in people from Ghana and other countries to participate in the building process, in the construction industry in the country. Okay, so how does mobile technology increase Liberian participation in the economy? And that, to me, is the $64,000 question that you educators have to define a framework to produce the output of Liberian, trained Liberian, and then also entrepreneurial development. Because one of the things that we see in Liberia is the lack of Liberian participation in business ownership. So you have to teach business ownership and all of that.
Well, Mr. Jackson and our studio guests, we have 8 more minutes to close this show. And it was very, very interesting to have you guys here. You see how challenging it is for the Liberian education system. And this is why Dr. Zeke have actually concentrated and decided to dedicate himself to this process. I'm calling on all of Liberians to join me because I think that Liberia can make a substantive change when it comes to education development. And this is why I have put my mind to it. And I believe that we will, not me, but we will as a people. So at this time, we're going to just take 1 minute break. When we come back, we will give each person 2 minutes each to give that closing statement. Let us now take a break.
I'm lucky for.
Don't take all the la bamba.
want to thank each of you for coming. And we want to inform you that we're going to bring you back whenever we call on you. Remember, you are coming to serve the people of Liberia. And at this show, we find solutions and make recommendations to the Liberian education system. At this time, we're going to give Mr. Jackson 2 minutes to give his closing statement.
Well, thank you very much. I think I've basically laid out, you know, what I believe to be some of the challenges in the educational system and as far as deploying mobile technology and also increasing computer literacy. I think with the government of Liberia needs to structure public-private partnerships to develop the framework to finance the educational sector. And, of course, as you know, because education is a commodity, if we can demonstrate to entrepreneurs that they can make money by training people, there is a niche market there for companies to come in and deploy that technology, and we can give them some sort of a tax abatement, some sort of opportunities, give them facilities, give them just expand opportunities and make it very easy for them to be able to train our people. And that's my hope. And, you know, we have a lot of developmental challenges in all the multifacets of dimension of poverty. And I hope Liberia, you know, move from its slumber and get into the 21st century as soon as possible. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Jackson. We are glad to have you. We're going to bring you back into our studio. Reverend Blamot. Reverend Philip Blamot, are you on? Okay, now we're going to go to Mr. Kawi for his closing statement, please.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot for the awareness. I strongly believe, and I would say this again, that the legislature budget should be slashed into half. We should save the funds for recent graduate students, that we make a commitment to teach in rural Liberia. This is done in Ghana, Nigeria, all over the place. And, you know, we should also institute, you know, a national scheme whereas volunteer, you know, educators, help them with their living wages for them to go and teach in rural Liberia. We need, you know, to make use of donor funds, right? We need to focus on priority spending, focus on what is Liberia-owned, Liberia-grown. We talk about people abroad. We need to encourage our Liberians to come out here to help volunteer and help improve the educational system because it's red deployable. Thank you for having me, and hopefully we talk soon.
Thank you so much, Mr. Kawi. It's a pleasure having you in studio. And to the rest of our guests, Reverend Blamo and Mr. Hutchison, we are pleased to have you guys. We're going to be reaching out to you in the near future to see how we can bring you back into our studio. So now we were talking about mobile learning versus computer literacy. Which one would benefit Liberia? We want to thank you. At this show, we find solutions and we make recommendations to the Liberian education system. Thank you for listening to us, and we'll see you next week, Monday at 9:30. Yeah.